doing? Zach Kowski.
Adam Henry.
Bobby Jones.
Jeff Jarrett.
Joe Siddle.
TJ Laramie. And
Holy Mackinac, you're listening to Wind City Sports.
Yo, what's good? My name is Jake DeMora, and thank you for streaming or downloading this episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast. Wind City Sports is Windsor's only local sports radio show and podcast, live on CJAM 99.1 FM in Windsor and Detroit every Thursday at 12:30. You can hear the Wind City Sports Podcast, wherever you're listening to it right now, but on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found, all 140-something plus episodes. On Spotify and iTunes, we have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. We'll talk about that at the end of the show as we normally do. But today is Thursday, June 6, 2019. And what episode is it? It's episode 148 of Wind City Sports. Doing the podcast outside this week. I don't know if you hear the birds chirping, the cars walking by, the grass being cut, the lawnmowers in the background. See how this goes. Might have to redo it, but it's a lovely day. It's been a great week here in Windsor, and hopefully by the time this drops, it still is, so that it actually makes sense and that we keep that nice weather rolling. If you were at Jurassic Park in Windsor this weekend, or on Sunday or on Wednesday last night, I'm sure it was some good weather on Sunday. I didn't get to go, but definitely got to get out there for a game. That's awesome. But anyway, let's bring it back to our interview segment for this week on the Wind City Sports Podcast. You might hear the wind coming in the background, but this week we're talking to another part of the Windsor Spitfires organization, this time not necessarily on the bench or on the ice. Well, I guess on the bench, but also in the dressing room. We're talking to the replacement to Joey Garland. We've talked to Joey a few times here on the show. He was a longtime athletic therapist for the Windsor Spitfires, basically their on-site trainer and physician, I guess. Position? I don't know. Anyway, we're talking to another sports scientist, athletic therapist. He spent some time in the OHL himself. He was a goalie. He played the game and then evolved into becoming a trainer and landed the job in Windsor after doing some tenures in London with the Knights. He's done Team Canada tournaments and stuff like that. On the podcast, after his first year with the Windsor Spitfires, after replacing Joe Garland, is Mark Packwood. So like we said, we talk all about his career playing-wise. I also played OUA at the university level, how he ended up getting the job, and just kind of talk about what he's involved in the field and in the sport. So it's another cool conversation. We always talk to athletes and coaches here, but it's also cool to talk to the therapists and the trainers and stuff like that. So before we get into that interview, really quickly, I just want to tell you about SeatGiant.ca and quickly some other things coming up to Wind City Sports. I will be vacationing in Italy again. Next week will be our last live radio show, and we'll still be bringing the podcast and still bringing the radio show to CJAM, just pre-recorded stuff. But I just want to tell you about SeatGiant. SeatGiant.ca is another third-party ticket sales site, just like StubHub and all the other competition. The best part about SeatGiant is it's all in Canadian dollars. So you can search up tickets for anything in Windsor, Toronto, Detroit, whether it be a game, concert, theater event, anything of such, it's on there. And better yet, they even have local events like our Windsor Spitfires and Windsor Express when they are in season. And to top it all off, you can use code WINCITY now for 5% off your order. That's WINCITY, all one word. So check out SeatGiant.ca if you're looking to get some tickets. But now let's send it over to Mark Packwood. Here we go. So on the phone right now from Thorold, Ontario, a former Kitchener Ranger and Oshawa General. I played Brock University. He's alumni from there, of course. And the Windsor Spitfires athletic therapist, Mark Packwood. Welcome to Wind City Sports.
Thank you very much.
So you started off as a goalie, technically, playing for your hometown team, the Blackhawks there. Was hockey always a big part of your life?
Yeah, pretty quickly. I had to make a decision, I think, in terms of time with my parents in terms of if I was going to actually stick with karate or hockey, and made the decision with hockey and probably around 7 or 8 years old. And then that was it. That's pretty much the only sport I dedicated myself to, a classic one sport athlete in Canada.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I hear a lot of people, obviously in hockey, sticking to hockey, and very rarely sometimes, you know, dabbled in another sport, but never really heard someone say it was between karate and hockey. That's pretty cool. I'm a martial artist myself, so given that background, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Taught a lot of discipline and everything, and probably came more in tune with my body with that at a young age, at a multiple age, than probably a lot of other sports would. So I was pretty grateful for actually doing it for so long.
Yeah, that's very true, actually. Just the values and stuff that you learn on the mats can transpire everywhere throughout your life, right?
Absolutely.
So you got to do what a lot of people didn't get to do, and that was play in the OHL. Overall, what was that experience like for you as a young adult?
You know, I think I kind of split it up into two different stories, I guess. My first half with Kitchener was, it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. It started, I think, promising. I had high expectations, and I think that were placed on me and for myself. And I actually thought that it didn't go quite the way I wanted to. When I got traded to Oshawa, I felt I had a much more enjoyable time. I don't know if that was because I was a bit older anyways with the team and not being a rookie, et cetera. But even though, per se, the performance on the ice wasn't ever really where I felt I could have been coming into the league, I definitely had a more enjoyable time probably in Oshawa, just I think from a team perspective. But I think that that kind of varies depending where you are, just with who the guys are in the room and stuff, and what age you come in at, pressures from coaches. There's lots of factors. Kitchener was still a fantastic, amazing place to play, and I have billets there that I still am in contact with. But that's kind of how I see it. It was a bit of an up and down 4 years anyways.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I mean, like you said, the age factor, you could be 16 or you can be 21. You're still a young kid, but like, there's still a big difference in those two ages, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, like as you get older, you become more wiser. And every year you kind of self-evaluate, and you can see that even from myself being 30 now and how I thought at 25, it's a difference. So, yeah, I kind of look back at, you know, decision-making and my perspective on life and everything at that time, adversity and being in the moment and kind of what that truly meant. Like, everything has changed from that. But yeah, it's hard. Even between 16 and 20, it's quite different.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I agree with everything you said. And I look at myself when I was 21 and I think, I didn't know shit. What was I doing back then?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So you touched upon it a little bit because, you know, going to Oshawa and talking about kind of the group that you were around. One thing I wanted to touch upon is that even on Kitchener too, you played on some very, very talented teams in the locker room with some guys that went on to like NHL greatness, and even guys that were like, for Windsor people listening to this, were kind of Windsor Spitfires legends that came from Ottawa, especially Ottawa. Actually, we'll get into that. I just want to name off some of these guys. John Tavares, some people might have heard of him, not sure. Cal Clutterbuck, Brett McLean, Michael Delzato, that was all in Oshawa. David Clarkson and Kitchener, and then the Spitfire guys, like I mentioned, Scott Timmins and Dale Mitchell. So I'm sure it was cool just to you know, be around those guys, and now you turn on the TV and you see some of your boys from junior playing in the NHL.
Yeah, it's I feel like there's even a couple guys there that, you know, didn't make the list that were phenomenal hockey players.
I think I named too many people already, so.
Yeah, it's, you know, Mike Richards and the guy that probably no one really knows about, but Brett Parnum in Oshawa. You know, what he did with, you know, Connor Buck and Brett McLean, and that he's kind of forgotten that the guy had 50 goals too. So yeah, it's crazy to see. It's nice to see. I mean, you kind of see these guys at the same age as you, or a little older, a little younger, and kind of as they get to, you know, be on the big screen and that with everything. And yeah, it's pretty neat for sure. I mean, a lot of guys are probably a lot different now than they were then, obviously as adults and that, but yeah, it's it was pretty neat. I had definitely some very talented teams that I was lucky to be a part of. Yeah,
for sure. I'm sure you look back and just think like, man, I remember when that kid was 17. Boy, has he changed, or just stuff like that. You know, life. It's life aside from hockey.
Yeah, for sure.
So then we go up to the 2007-2008 season. You played a few games in Oshawa, but you're also playing for Brock. So I kind of want to know what the story there was. You were able to kind of bounce between the OHL and the OUA.
Yeah, it was, so I was going to be traded again kind of thing in Oshawa after, actually had a really good start. I was kind of a little bit surprised by it, but they had a younger kid coming up, so be it. So I was either going to be traded to Kingston or the Sioux, and looking back, I probably should have taken either one of them because the role that they said I was going to have wasn't that much, and then looking back as that season went on, the goalie they ended up did taking ended up playing a ton. So when I look back, I said maybe I should have taken the trade, but I had kind of lost a bit of the passion for hockey, I won't lie, at that point. And so I went home, and I basically talked to Murray Nystrom at Brock, who was the head coach there at the time, probably sometime near Christmas or whatnot. I actually picked up my first part-time job at Future Shop at the time. he basically said, you know, like, we have our goalies this year, but we'd love to, you know, have you recruit you for the following year. Maybe you could just practice with us, get the feel for school. And I said, yeah, that sounds good. So I basically registered for a couple classes and for January, like three classes at the minimum. And I was just practicing, or I was planning to practice. And then I won't get into the incident or anything, but there was an injury for the one goalie for Brock. And he was basically not only his season, but it was potentially that his career was done from it. So Murray had said, hey, like, we actually need you to dress for us. And I don't know if you're familiar with the OUA schedule and that, but there's only about maybe 8 or 9 games after the Christmas break. So it's not like there was a huge, huge commitment for it. Mm-hmm. But I said, yeah, so I did. And then basically I think we were fighting for a spot or something. I can't recall right now, but basically, you know, for the first 7 games that I was obviously dressed but not playing, Murray said, hey, like, last game of the year against York, we're going to throw you in just kind of as a, you know, obviously a pretty young guy in university, but just to say thanks for all the hard work and whatnot. And it was a pretty pretty crazy game in York. It was, you know, typical last game of the year that doesn't really matter, a little bit messy and stuff like that. But yeah, that's kind of why I wasn't really supposed to play at all that year, though. I was supposed to come in the following year. And then, but yeah, the circumstances happened that I said, sure, we'll get started.
I guess it was right place, right time. But you did end up coming in the next year too, right?
Yeah. And, again, I think, and perhaps it was just the stage of life where I was at, came in, I think I played 2 games, felt I played great. And, again, just wasn't getting starts, again, in such a short 28 game season. Every time you don't play, it's hard to gain any ground. So I had a bit of a self-evaluation of, you know, where am I going with this? What's my goal from, you know, playing CIS hockey? Do I expect to go try and get a contract after or whatnot? Or do I want to start focusing on real life here? And I think in combination of losing a little bit of passion with some frustrations that had built from playing my, you know, years in the O and then even with CIS, and that I probably had it, obviously, too, when I look back at a bit of an immature response to not playing. I think if Murray heard this, he'd probably laugh. I think I threw a chair down the hallway or something like that. But just basically said that was enough. And I just started focusing on school and trying to do what I was going to have to do to get into either medical school or physio school or whatnot, and that was it.
See, people are probably going to listen to this and look back and think, I remember when he was throwing the chairs down the hallway and shit like that.
Yeah, I just left my equipment in the room, and it wasn't a great way to do it, 100%. And, you know, it was actually for a little bit of time afterwards that I chatted with Murray and said, you know, I apologize for it, and it wasn't the right thing to do. And obviously, water under the bridge and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, again, these are things that help build you, and there's things that I use now to help with the kids coming through now as a therapist to say, I know times are tough and things aren't the way you want or expect, but I believe that everything happens for a reason anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's a way for me to hopefully instill in some of the kids that, you know, things aren't always great and it's hard and they're always a hard place to make it blossom and excel beyond. So I try and use all my past failures really as a way to help the kids along.
Well, that's a great way to do it. I mean, I want to get into that, you know, like your actual job, because if I'm not mistaken, you said you just kind of enrolled in some courses to get on the team, basically the hockey team at Brock. But when did you kind of decide to start taking that serious? Well, you kind of touched upon it, but like, how did you kind of start getting into school and stuff like that?
Well, I still loved hockey. And to be honest, when, in 2012, so my last year at Brock, I was actually got asked to be the goalie coach for the St. Catharines Junior B team. And actually Jim Bedard had kind of brought my name to the coach, general manager there, Frank Gurney, and I said, yeah, sure, I'll do it. I'll try coaching, and maybe coaching's going to be my calling or whatnot. And to be honest, it was that, and I've said this, I think, a few times now, but it was that year that I fell in love with hockey truly again. I don't think I was as bitter about everything. It was such a phenomenal experience with the Sutherland Cup, and I knew that I wanted to be in hockey, and while working hard with my education and my grades and extracurriculars and stuff to build my resume, I knew that I could do that by staying in healthcare and trying to find a career within healthcare that can let me do it for probably a lot longer than I ever would as a player. And so that's kind of what made me realize that, yes, what I'm doing here is going to be my way to be in hockey. I thought when I was 15 years old I was going to, you know, hold the Stanley Cup over my head as a player, as a goalie kind of thing, and now I have aspirations that maybe I can do that one day, but as a therapist. And so it was really like probably in that year that I knew that I was on the right path. The years just in between were more so just work hard, even though you don't really know what you're going to do yet, just keep working hard so that you have options.
Gotcha. So your first kind of like hands-on experience was with the St. Catharines Junior B team coaching, or did you start to get some training experience elsewhere, anything like that?
Yeah, so at the time, in between, it was a pretty busy year, actually. I was like a volunteer slash student trainer with our men's wrestling and rugby team at Brock, and then I also was helping out a few days a week with the Niagara Ice Dogs at the time with Pete Dobbin, who's still there as their AT. And so it was just, again, just to kind of try and build my resume and get a little bit of a hands-on experience as to kind of what goes on in the background and whatnot. So that was kind of the first little bit of that. And then once I went to physio school, it was pretty much just school. It was pretty much full-time doing that. So it wasn't until after I graduated that I did basically a sport fellowship through a big sport medicine clinic in London, where I still currently work. And then I was also assisting with the London Knights at the time. So that's kind of what got my name back in the O, per se, with things. And then it was basically a matter of building my resume, getting experience, just kind of waiting for my name to pop up for an OHL job.
Yeah, obviously, because you can go to school and that stuff, but you have to gain like hands-on experience to kind of prove yourself too, right? And of course, you being in hockey, you had a lot of connections, like you kind of brought onto the St. Catharines team there, so I'm sure that it all kind of fell into place for you, right?
Yeah, exactly. I was basically, someone told me before, like, say yes to everything, and you never know what can come of it. And I think actually after my first year with London, I was asked to help out with like an under 15 event, so I did two or three of those, you know, for free, just show up and kill a weekend, made a contact through there, which got me to do the under 17 camp in Calgary, which then blossomed into doing the OHL combine. Did that for a few years, and which actually was then Ted Baker who recommended my name to Warren Reichel. So again, you set the groundwork in the beginning, and even though it's maybe not the most, you know, it's not paying you, or you're not really sure why you're doing it, you're giving up weekends, but then you get a phone call randomly and someone asks you to be a head guy, and then it's like, okay, it was worth it. You kind of have that moment.
Yeah, you might have to wait a while, but it does pay off, yeah. Right? That's actually where I was going to go next, was because you like went to further your education, it seems, and then just were being part of all of these big tournaments and camps and events, like you had mentioned, like the under 17 and the OHL combines and stuff like that.
Yeah, they were great. And again, it was just kind of, I went through a bunch of them as a player and that, and then it was a matter of, in a way, kind of restricting yourself a little bit as the fun that you would typically have as a player, where everyone is doing everything for you, and then instead realizing that, oh yeah, now it's the reverse, where I have to make sure I'm doing everything for these kids. It's not about me anymore, it's about these kids. And that, to be honest, is something that even to this day, like, it's always a bit of a check on myself to be like, yeah, just make sure, like, yeah, we all have fun, and that's the beauty of being in the dressing room and being around hockey is the good people and everything, but still ensuring that, you know, your job first, and sometimes you got to sacrifice some of the fun that comes along with it to ensure that, you know, you're keeping the kids first.
That's pretty cool, man. It's a cool dynamic. I'm sure it probably made you appreciate the trainers that you guys had when you were a kid too, more, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's little moments that, you know, they're hard to kind of always bring up or envision, but when they come up, you kind of just sit back and laugh and say, oh geez, no, maybe I was a little bit of a pain in the butt or something like that back in the day, like who knows. But I had some pretty good guys, some legends in the Canadian Hockey League that I got to work with, or that were my trainers anyway, so, and they're still around today, so I got to be around some pretty good guys.
Yeah, probably
full circle now.
Yeah, for sure. You probably see yourself and some kids too, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Yeah, it's almost like you kind of guess, like, you know, which guys are going to do what in a way, just because of how their personality is and success or lack of success they have at times, and you can kind of just see it a little bit. It's funny. It's like this innate kind of gut feeling you get about certain players, and I mean, that's a lot of that is how scouting goes too, right? There's only so much that analytics and stuff like that can do, but it is a bit of a just kind of evaluating and just using patterns that you've seen yourself.
Yeah, just basically what you've learned, right?
Yep.
So you touched upon it before, you know, you built your experience, you did your education, you're pretty much just waiting for the right moment for a job to come up. So obviously Joe Garland stepped down a few years back, and I think you mentioned before Warren Reichel gave you the call, and that's how it went down?
Yeah, I didn't, like, the year before I had actually accepted the job in Sarnia, and then I went back to school. I felt I needed to do that, and I was kind of a little nervous that, you know, I had such a job or an opportunity to be close to home and get into the league, and I thought when I gave that up that, you know, I wasn't sure when the next one was going to come. And so it was pretty random because I didn't see any job posting or anything like that. It was just a phone call, and then within a week's time after meeting Warren and Trevor Letowski for a lunch and that, I was pretty excited and pretty keen on coming on board and that. And I had met Joey a couple of times before when I was helping with London and that, and I knew that he was one of the good guys for sure in the league, and a very obviously successful, intelligent, well-respected man. And and again, he was great in my transition coming into the team too. He really did help make it pretty seamless.
It's awesome. He's a good guy. He's been on the show before.
People
have praised him a lot. I can't say enough about him. But have you been enjoying your time with the Spits? I think this might be your second season, right?
No, the first one. This is the first one this year. But it was phenomenal. It was everything I could have hoped it would be. You know, obviously we didn't have as much success into the playoffs that we wanted to, but we're a young group, and it was nice to actually be a part of the ups and downs of it. I think there's something to be said about how cohesive a group is when, as they build in the few years within the OHL, like a cycle, to be able to experience some of the lows early on, and hopefully that translates into some successful times in the next year or two. But it was great. We had such a good group and coaching staff. I can't say enough about our coaching staff and how unbelievable they are. Like, really felt welcome, and great bunch of kids, not a bad apple in the room. It was really, really enjoyable. So it made it well worth it.
That's great, man. Well, obviously we're looking forward to the next season, always looking for a bounce back with the Spits. But aside from there, where else are you involved? You mentioned you're still working at a sport clinic in London. Do you train at other facilities, maybe your own studio or anything like that going on?
No, I mean, for the most part, so during the year, I keep about 10 hours of clinic work throughout the season. And then once the season ended, I picked up an extra day or so. But off season is really a time still to, you know, relax a little bit, do any kind of personal development stuff you want to do, spend more time with a significant other and family and that. So it is a little bit of a downtime. So I'm at the clinic, the Fowler Kennedy Clinic in London. And then outside of that, if there's any Hockey Canada opportunity, you know, I would do that. I do a camp in July for Newport Sport Management, their agency there in Toronto, for a week. They do an experience week for their kids that are going to be in the upcoming NHL draft for what would be 2020 now. So that's a pretty cool week that I'm part of. But outside of that, travel a little bit and relax.
Yeah. Well, you're traveling a lot with the Spits too, right? So like you said, this is your off season.
Yeah. Exactly. It's nice to be home and in your own bed for every night instead of moving around all the time or back and forth between London and Windsor.
Yeah, cramped in the hotels and shit like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So you kind of touched upon it just a minute ago there, and obviously now you're overseeing the whole squad with the Windsor Spitfires, but maybe in the past or outside of that realm, have you been more prone to training goalies, or are you across the board doing other players, maybe other athletes too, or given your background being a goalie, are you focusing on that, or are people kind of pulling you into training goalies?
Because I know Joey's, for example, is a guy who will do a lot of strength training in the summer, especially because he would get to use the rink and the facility there. But back here, I don't specifically spend per se any like time routinely working with guys. Last year, there's a strength conditioning place in London here that he'd send some of their players to me if they had anything going on during the season. So. See like Suzuki or someone like that come in. So I'll see them from a rehab perspective if needed. Obviously, my comfort level is with hockey players, or more specifically goalies, because I can relate to the kind of ins and outs and sometimes complaints that are more common that I can relate to. So I get that. But our clinic is we see everything. So we have a lot of the Western athletes that pop through, and in general, London's a Southwestern Ontario really is a big sport. Community. So we have lots of athletes from all across the board that come in. So I'll treat anything and whatnot. And it's always actually motivating to have a sport or athlete from a different sport that comes in that maybe I don't know as much about, say volleyball or whatnot. So it's actually a nice learning experience too, to chat with them about the ins and outs of technique and things like that they do. So I like to expose myself to that. I think it makes me a better clinician to know that. And you never know what things you learn from other sport too that you can incorporate in hockey as well. So, not for the most part, I'm not really trying to make like a niche for myself per se in that. I like to treat everything, but by all means, it's a lot easier when a hockey player comes in.
Yeah, no doubt. Like I said, given your background, it only makes sense. So I kind of want to wrap it up with, you're in London. Like you said, you kind of take some time off for the summer and stuff like that. But if somebody, an athlete or a coach, wanted to get their team involved and train with you, where could we find you?
I'd be at the Fowler Kennedy Clinic. So I'm mainly there. So if there's anything that anyone needed, probably to contact me there. My email's pretty, I think, public with the Spitfires. I've had a couple people within the community during the year contact me for rehab. I actually saw a couple of people at the rink during the year as well, just because I don't necessarily have a home clinic in Windsor to work out of, but I've definitely had some referrals from people in town in Windsor that I could treat them. So I'm always open for that as needed. Sometimes there's some nights where there's nothing going on, so it's easy to do that. But otherwise, in the summer, if anyone ever needs anything, I'm at the Fowler Kennedy Clinic in London.
And there we have it. That's a wrap. Thank you so much, Mark, for taking the time to do this. It's been awesome.
Oh, no problem. I appreciate the time.
Okay, guys, before I continue on with the podcast, there's something pretty important I need to tell you about. You may have heard, and if you didn't hear, but if you did hear, CGM FM needs your help. CJAM is where Wind City Sports originated, starting with just a radio show every Thursday at 8 p.m., eventually evolving into the podcast. CJAM is a local campus community radio station located at the University of Windsor. They've been around for over 35 years on the FM dial, and more than that, prior to making it to FM. That's where Joe Bowen for the Toronto Maple Leafs got his start. So, due to this, we're starting an emergency campaign to fundraise for supplies and equipment, and basically just to keep the station alive. At first, it looked like we were just going to lose all of our funding for supplies and equipment, but now it's looking like CJAM may not survive without additional funding. Usually, October, November is the only time of the year that we reach out to you to take some dollars out of your pockets and put it in ours. This time, it's an emergency, and we really need the support of the local. If you listen to Wind City Sports, listen to anything on CJAM, know anyone that is a jammer or ever been involved in CJAM, we need this to stay alive in our community. So that's why we're asking the people to go to cjam.ca right now to contribute to our emergency fundraising campaign. Even if it's just a dollar, every bit counts. Thank you. All right, Drake DeMore back here on the podcast, still sitting out in the sun on this beautiful day out in the backyard. I always wanted to do this, like I said, podcasting in the backyard. Hopefully the background noise isn't too bad. Had some wind, had some lawnmowers going. No dogs out yet, but we're going to wrap up the podcast today. I hope you guys enjoyed that interview with Mark Packwood. Did that a few weeks ago, and seen him when he came into the organization, seen him on social media, and I had to reach out and try and get him on. I knew it would be a good conversation. Always, even just on the trainer side and athletic therapist side, I knew it would be cool to tie it in with his experience playing hockey, playing for the O, obviously being familiar with the Windsor Spitfires organization. So probably a very bright future for him, whether it be within the Windsor Spitfires organization or not. And speaking of which, if you haven't heard, they finally cleared up the situation with the ownership and the sale. It's actually not going to be sold. They're just shifting the management structure. Basically, Warren Reichel, Bob Buchner were majority owners with a group called the Cypher Group, a company who has basically been putting in money to the organization to keep it alive, keep it within the ownership. For many years they've been doing this, and obviously have some say and some managerial roles, but they're going to step up and be the front runners and basically be known as the owners, as Bob and Reichel were. So moving forward, it's looking better than it was a few months ago. I know a lot of fans were happy, so hopefully everyone is happy now. But right now, I'm just going to quickly tell you about some local news and some upcoming events and games and stuff like that. The Windsor Clippers had a jam-packed weekend of Junior B lacrosse, picking up a big 19-6 win over London on Thursday. That kicked off their weekend at home. Then they beat Welland Saturday 7-2, but lost to Elora 9-4 on Sunday. Their next game is actually tonight, Thursday, June 6th at 8 p.m. at Forest Glade Arena, as they welcome their rival, Wallaceburg Red Devils. The Windsor TFC picked up their first win last Friday with a 1-0 win over the Toronto Skills FC. Daniel Wodek scored the lone goal to give the TFC the win. Their next home game is tomorrow, Friday, June 7th at 8 p.m. at the University's Alumni Field in Windsor. The Windsor Rogues Rugby Club has their season opener this Saturday at 1 p.m. at AKO Park at Bernard and Alice near Herman High School as they take on the Kent Havoc. All of their games are played there every other Saturday, so come out and enjoy some rugby action at 1 p.m. You can go to windsorrugby.com for more information. And finally, the St. Clair Green Giants baseball team opened up their 2019 season this week. All of their games are played at Lacoste Park in Tecumseh. Usually have 2-3 game series with visiting teams. They opened up the regular season play with a triple header against the Galeon Graders starting on Tuesday and wrap it up tonight in Tecumseh. Check out stclairgreengiants.com for more information and scheduling on upcoming games. And if you want to go out to the game tonight, Lacoste Park, I believe 7 p.m. But that's it this week on Wind City Sports. My name is Drake DeMore, and we're here every Thursday with a brand new episode on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you're listening to it right now, anywhere podcasts are found. You can also find it on windcitysports.com, on the brand new Border City Podcast Network at bordercitynetwork.com. I know this is a lot of information, but just simply Google Wind City Sports and you'll easily be able to find us. Wind City, all one word. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, at windcity_sports. Jesus is our handle. And you can also follow me, Drake DeMore, at Drake DeMore on Instagram and Twitter. So until then, we'll be back here with a brand new podcast and a brand new radio show on CJAM FM, where we need your help. So until then, smell you later.